Hi, everybody. This is Armand DeMille with you, with the Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM in your dial. Assisting me in the studio today, Lauren Sykes, helping us bring you information. Big deal lately, big deal, probably one of the biggest deals ever in my lifetime, is what's happening with Julian Assange. He's the man from WikiLeaks who has been arrested. And what did he get arrested for? He got arrested for, in effect, telling everybody's secret. Yep. What he did was he had a way of getting information and putting public information that people held private. And everybody wants to kill him. Nobody wants him to be around. And he knows that, of course. So they currently have him arrested on some charge of sexual misdoing. But everybody knows this is just a way to try to get him to stop doing what he's doing. But it brings to mind the whole issue of secrecy and the whole idea of secrecy and how secrecy exists and how we've lived with it and what it means to have secrets among groups and politicians and families and individuals. Secrecy is the practice of hiding information from certain individuals or groups, perhaps while sharing it with other individuals. Sometimes they don't share it with anybody at all. That which is hidden is called the secret. Humans attempt to consciously conceal aspects of themselves from others due to shame or fear of violence, rejection, harassment, loss of acceptance, loss of employment. Nowadays, you go on a job. I know somebody recently who was did a wrong thing on a job, shouldn't have been doing. He was using the boss's time in an inappropriate way, but he worked for a big bank, and it was against the bank rules, and so he got fired. And when he's asked why did he get fired, he doesn't want to tell them the truth. He got fired because he took a break when he shouldn't take a break, and it was against their rules. He's got a secret now, and he hopes they don't find out. And I watch how it contorts his life, how he contorts his life trying to hide the fact that he made a mistake. Secrets. Families maintain family secrets, obliging family members to never discuss disagreeable issues concerning the family. Many family secrets are maintained by using a mutually agreed upon story. You know, when you think about secrecy, even this whole issue of don't ask, don't tell is part of that whole secrecy idea. Governments often attempt to conceal information from one another, government or the public. These state secrets, which they're called, can include weapon designs, military plans, diplomatic negotiation, secrets obtained illicitly from others, which we call intelligence, strangely enough. Secrecy in elections is a growing issue, particularly secrecy of vote counts on computerized vote counting machines, but secrecy among politicians. Well, of course there's secret. Isn't that what the word politician means? Doesn't the word politico, when translated into Hungarian, mean secret? There are military secrets, too, you know. A military secret is a secret information that's the purpose of made available to the general public and hence to any enemy. And we supposedly have many military secrets. You don't know what bomb I have. I don't know what bomb you have. You don't know where my bombs are. I don't know where your bombs are, and this is it. We'll base it on the secrecy. That's the only way we could win the war, not by overpowering each other, but by the concealment, by the secrecy. Now, excessive secrecy is often cited as a source of much human conflict, but today I want to talk about your secrets and my secrets. Secrets that we've had ever since we've been kids. Things that we kept from ourselves. Lauren, what are the kind of secrets that people keep? What are the different types that people have? Secrets from Hello, Lauren.
Hi. You can have secrets from yourself, secrets from your parents, secrets from your spouse.
Wait. Secrets from yourself.
Yes.
How do you have secrets from yourself? You don't have any mirrors. You know, that is a way. You don't look in the mirror so you can't see how fat you are. You don't have a scale so you don't tell what you weigh. You keep secrets from yourself. Mm-hmm. You wear baggy clothing, or you wear clothing that are getting a certain kind of attention, but not based on who you really are, but what you're kind of throwing out there. Like, you could wear very sexy clothing and not have people see your flaws, because all they're seeing is your sexuality that you're throwing out there. So you have a lot of secrets from yourself and secrets you hide from others. I mean, everybody walking down the street, I guess we all wear costumes. And those are kind of secrets. We're hiding the weirder parts of our body and we're showing off the better parts of our body. I guess makeup is in itself a secret. I don't want you to see my real face. I'll put on this other outside face for you to show you. Then you said you have secrets from your parents. What kind of secrets do people have from their parents?
Maybe how well they're doing at school. You know, a child can be away. Well, not a child, but young adult can be away at college, having the time of their life, and, you know, presenting to their parents that they're doing well in school, when in actuality, they're out every night drinking, having fun. And, you know, there's no way that their parents can know what's truly going on.
Oh, well, they are doing well at school. They're having a good time. but they're doing well.
Academically.
Academically, according to their family values. They're trying to reassure the family, we're doing fine, we're working hard, we're getting our stuff done. You know what else you hide from your parents? Your sexuality. You don't let them know what you're doing. You know, and the parents, now we run into that case where don't ask, don't tell. The parents don't really want to know about your sexuality. Just as we don't want to know about our parents' sexuality. You know, don't tell me about my mother and father and what they did with each other. I don't want to hear that. And they don't want to hear about yours. Or do they? You also have secrets from your spouse. That means if you've been married more than once. Secrets from your spouses. Right? What wouldn't you tell your mate?
What wouldn't I?
What wouldn't you?
I guess, you know, an extra relationship that you're having on the side.
Sure, you might have even a flirtation on the side you wouldn't tell your spouse about. That's one, but you might also tell them about your fears or your worries, because you might not want to worry them. You might not want them to be concerned. So that's another thing you hide from your spouse. And people hide secrets from their spouse all the time, spouses all the time. In fact, that's what your friends are for. Your friends are to tell your friends things that you wouldn't share with your spouse, supposedly. Mm-hmm. Then you have secrets from your children, secrets from your boss, secrets from your best friends, secrets from your brothers and sisters. And then secrets in general from the whole world every time you walk out there. And the biggest secret of all is hiding your feeling. You don't want people to know how you feel.
It's interesting that you touch on certain things that you won't confide in with your spouse, but that you choose to confide with your best friends. I find it interesting because I feel like sometimes within friendships, sometimes a friend might be extra confrontational because they feel like that's them being their real self. So they might overdo, you know, confronting quote unquote problems or issues, when in reality, it's just not that serious. But it's their way of reassuring that the friendship is real.
Oh, you see, now you run into this very big question about the real and the unreal, and truth and non-truth. Because, yes, you can make a big deal over nothing. Is that being honest? I just want to be honest with you, you know? And you make a big deal over nothing. And mates do that with each other all the time. I just want to tell you my truth. Usually people say that word like my truth. I'm just sharing my truth, which is really my thinking.
Exactly.
You know, and what people don't share very often are their real feelings. They don't share sadness. They don't share fear. They don't share anger. You know, they may say, I'm mad or I'm angry, but they don't really share it when they feel it, because that's why we get passive-aggressive anger. That's why we see people hurting each other without looking like they're hurting each other. And again, these are the secrets. Your emotions are a big secret. Your physical functioning is another big secret. You know, it's very interesting that we learned, one of the human is the first animal to ever learn to hide its menses. Meaning that somewhere early on, human females learned that if they didn't hide them, if they hid their menses, the male animal would never know when they're ready to mate. And so the male would be always trying to please them in some way. So keeping your period secret starts all the way back. And this whole idea of not knowing when somebody is ready for sex and when they're not ready for sex, this goes all the way back, an original lie. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. Now, it is not that I am saying truth is what it's all about. I think truth is overrated. I think truth are sometimes just words that people say that have no meaning at all. It may be something you perceive, but it may have no actual meaning. However, in families, there we run into a little trouble. Some family secrets are destructive. And then some family secrets get revealed when you don't expect it to. You know, you have to resist the temptation to handle them at transition times, like weddings, graduations, or new beginnings. As a family therapist, I am a professional secret keeper. I am often the very first person with whom someone risks telling a long-held secret. Several decades of guiding people struggling with secrets have taught me that they have an awesome, if paradoxical, power to unite people or to divide them. Secrets are very dangerous. From government conspiracies to couples having affairs, secrets permeate every level of society. We live in a culture where messages about secrecy are truly confounding. If cultural norms once made shameful secrets out of too many events in human lives, we're now struggling with the reverse. The assumption that telling secrets, no matter how, when, or to whom, is morally superior to keeping them. And that is an automatic healing. And this is the belief that if you tell a secret, reveal a secret, unearth a secret, everybody's going to be better off. But we're also learning that we don't always want that to be true, because that's what we're trying to kill Assange. We don't want him to be letting out WikiLeaks secrets about everything. But basically, our culture believes now, if you expose the truth, you're doing a healing thing. Telling secrets in the wrong way or at the wrong time can be remarkably painful and destructive. The question we need to concern ourselves with, why should I keep a secret? How do I tell a secret without hurting anyone? How do I know the time is right? And that's a big question, and I'm sure many of you have asked yourself that many times. When do you tell the truth? Many of you remember what it was like to even leave home when you were a kid. When do you tell your parents? When am I going to tell my parents? When am I going to tell them I'm leaving? It's a big issue. Did you ever deal with that issue?
No, I mean, it was a given when I went away to school.
When you went away to school?
Yeah.
Yeah. Although we encounter secrets in every area of life, they're perhaps most destructive when they're kept in the home. Families are as support systems. You can tell secrets. There could be secrets about... Oh, you were saying before about somebody's identity, whether the person is adopted or not adopted.
Yeah.
You know, there was a great movie called The Jerk with Steve Martin, where he's adopted by a black family. And nobody, he knows, he thinks, or no, everybody knows he's not part of the family because he's white. And he doesn't know it. And the movie takes off from there. It's a very enjoyable movie. Mm-hmm. So not all secrets are dangerous. Many are essential to establishing bonds between two people. When siblings keep secrets from their parents, for example, they attain a sense of independence and a feeling of closeness. But the creation of any secret between two people in a family actually forms a triangle because it always excludes another person. So when mom and her son have a secret about dad, against dad, here, don't tell your father I bought this for you, right? We're setting up a triangle. And there's a destructiveness in that. It means it's you and me against them. And it kind of spousifies the child in some way. It separates the child. The secret wedges a boulder between those who know it and those who don't. Do you ever have a secret about a friend of yours that you know that someone told you, but you can't tell your friend you know? That's an odd feeling. It's an odd feeling. You know something that you were told, but you can't tell your friend about it. Well, secrets have become a very difficult thing, and there are many people, some who have even committed suicide, over having to hold secrets. But we want to hear about your story with secrets, long-held secrets, and that's where we're going to be taking your calls later at 212-209-2900. Some families create inviolable rules to keep information hidden, making it impossible for members to ask for assistance or use needed resources in the outside world. There are some cultures that say you're not allowed to see a therapist, you're not allowed to confide in the outside, you're not allowed to talk to anybody else. Some either some religions that say you can't see a doctor, you can't talk to anyone else. And there are people who I've seen who have been really damaged by the fact that they were told they had to keep a secret, especially when there's a sexual secret between an abusing parent and a child. That is perhaps the most destructive. And that's the one that I have seen have the worst effect on people. But breaking the family rule of secrecy is necessary to ensure the achievement of freedom and honesty in many cases in order to maintain a sense of self. One of the best ways to ease into revealing long-hidden information is to have a therapist, because a therapist becomes an objective observer. You know, and you could tell them first. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. Some families are frozen behind the secrets, and you don't even know it. Can you imagine, think back now to your family, and in your family, what the family secret is. Think about the secrets that you've kept from your spouse. Think about the secrets that you currently keep from yourself. Our telephone number here is 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. I want to make an announcement as well. Since we are now broadcasting on Tuesdays and Wednesdays and not on Thursdays, I've tried to add the Thursday program to a Facebook page. And so if you go to Facebook, The Positive Mind Facebook, and you look at it, you'll hear some additions that we did that were not put on air. And in fact, I found it very exciting because there were some things that we could talk about that we couldn't talk about on air because it would be too questionable. So we took a journey, and I want you to go to our website and take a look and see some of the things that we did. Maybe we'll present in full force to WBAI. So this is Armand DeMille, 212-209-2900. Let's take one of your calls. I'd love to hear from you and say hello to you today. Hi there, you're on the air. This is Armand DeMille.
Hi.
Hi.
Armand, several years ago, a young lady wrote a book about her life with her dad in Germany. After the war, she had discovered one of the secrets, his secrets, that he didn't tell anybody, particularly his children, that he had been an SS officer, mm-hmm. that he had been involved in numerous killings. She did not hesitate, however, once she discovered this, to write a book about it and reveal the whole thing to the whole world. personally, I do have some family secrets that I would not be inclined to want to reveal to the whole world.
Like what?
I really don't want to get into it.
Oh, you see, you have secrets, but since the whole world doesn't know you, but what could you give me a classification?
Yeah, it has to do with wartime combat
wartime
experience.
You know, for a little while, during the, I think it was in the 80s, I was working in Germany. I was giving a workshop in Germany, and I remember I was in the southern part of Germany, and I was doing some very intense workshops with people. And there was a group of people who asked me, they came to me and they said to me, would you please, we are the children of the SS.
Yes.
And we want to open up our feelings about it. And we would like to talk about what it was like to be a child of an SS. And they wanted to gather these groups and they were trying to put the groups together. And I was threatened by the town. I was told to leave town. Mm-hmm. I was drummed out. They said, don't you dare open this up. Not because they're evil, but because they're scared.
And the only way out of it is to actually confront it and deal with it openly, I think. I think she had the right idea in writing the book.
So
give an example to everyone.
How do your family secrets, your family war secrets, how do they affect you in such a way that it causes you the depression that you lived with nowadays? Because I hear it. I hear that it's a weight on your shoulders.
Well, I feel regret because I wasn't able to deal with the revelation, what I don't think was an adequate response. And the person is gone now, and I regret it. I wish I could have dealt with it in a better way. It was something that brought great sorrow to him, his war experiences. So that's what I'm feeling. I'm feeling regret mostly.
Yeah. Well, I thank you for taking it this far and going this way with us. And thank you. Thank you for calling in. Sure.
Bye-bye.
You know, there's in the 12-step programs, there's a thing called making amends. Very important step. It's a step where you're asked to call the people who you think you've hurt in your life and in some way to say to them, I'm sorry. And you confess or you tell them why you think you've hurt them in some way. It's a healing process. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air. Hello there.
Hi, is this Armand DeMille?
Yes, it is.
Fabulous. Hi, it's Nina. I called you once before a long time ago, and basically you were at the end of the show, so we didn't really get to flesh this out. But the big secret in my family is me. What happened is I grew up in Crown Heights, Lubavitch family, Orthodox Jews, and I married someone outside of the faith who is also an African-American. And I have become the big secret in my family. One day they wrote a letter to me, everyone signed it, saying I don't exist anymore. So at that point I had called you. And you said to me, well, why don't you write them a letter back saying they don't exist? But it was such a short conversation. I was, you know, and I've discussed it with my husband several times. Like, does he really mean it? And here we are. It's about a year after our conversation. And nothing's changed on their part. You know, it's Hanukkah right now. I went home for the second time since I got married to try to, you know, attempt to make peace, but they're really not ready. And my brother came to the door, like, here's the big secret. He just totally freaked out. He said, I'm not letting you in. You know, you're going to kill your father. He's sick. And your mother, she'll have a heart attack. You know, very, he just wasn't ready for it. They're not ready for it. So, you know, I wanted to talk to you about it and see, number one, did you really mean it? Is that what I should do? Like, write a letter back to them? Because I still have these feelings of, you know, I'm not a secret. I do exist. I live, you know, not that far from them in Brooklyn. And I have a beautiful family. And I really wish that they could be in my life.
Well, that sounds like a decent letter right there. But you see, here's the thing. They use it as a punishment. People who do this use it as punishment. And unfortunately, you feel punished. Unfortunately, you feel like you're being hurt by what they're doing. And You have to let them go before this will get healed. Because the truth of it is, if they could give up their kid for this reason, if they could say, because you made your choice, I don't want to own you, I don't want to have you near me, then they're kind of not proving themselves to be of the right metal in the first place, you know? They're kind of saying, the culture first, my children next. And I don't think that's the way the priorities go.
Right. I don't think so either. Especially now that I have my own kids, I don't think that should be
the
priority.
Yeah, so your children, you mean if your children went to the door, they would say you can't come in?
Yeah, that is what happened.
To your children? Not to you, but to your children?
Well, my son is less than 2 years old. I went home holding my son, and then there was a moment of weakness where my brother said, oh, you're so cute, and he tried to hold him, and he said, I wish you could play with my kids. And they're all bent on my husband needs to convert in order for them to not be embarrassed by me. And that's a big thing to, you know, they want him to do a proper Orthodox conversion. And, you know, I clearly left that religion for a reason, so they're asking for more than I'm prepared to give in order, you know, in order to make that relationship right.
Yes, I think you've got to hold on to your strength the way you've got it. If you're not willing to make that kind of a change, you know, who knows what they're going to want next? What are they going to do? Ask them to change the color of his skin, too? What are they going to ask for? You know, what do they want? And so I think the point of it is, if they're willing to reject you from the family because of your choice, and if you're not doing anything particularly distinctly antagonistic towards them, then they're going to have to burn in their own fire.
Okay.
And they're going to have to lose you. And when the time comes, they'll come looking for you, but you got to let them go.
All right. And any quick advice on how you let your family go? I mean, this is my mom. We would stand in the kitchen and give like a 5-minute hug. So, you know, in letting go, I'm kind of trying that.
Okay, let's see you write a letter to your mom telling her that you're letting her go. And the very act of that letter and the tears that you shed that fall on your paper, that become your watermark, that's what will help you.
Mm-hmm. Armando Mello, I thank you so much for, you know, all the times I listen to you on the radio and for this beautiful advice.
Thank you for calling in.
All right. Bye-bye.
See, there's the pain of it. That's exactly what we're talking about. The pain of secrets, the secret society, and, you know, they can't let the rest of the society know. And in their own way, you know, I know they can't let the society know. They can't let people know because they will be shamed. And shame is one of the biggest reasons that people keep secrets. Shame. Shame. How many times in sexuality the issue is mostly shame? We'll talk about that when we come back from our break. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. We're going to take a short break, come back and play you some music, and then we'll continue with your phone calls at 212-209-2900. We'll be right back.
Very good.
We have no secrets. We tell each other everything about the lovers in our past and why they didn't last. Thank you.
Carly Simon, WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City, right here. This is Armand DeMille. Carly Simon, clouds in my coffee. Hey, listen, friends, this is Armand DeMille. You know, only rarely do the clients that I have want their truth-telling only to be with me. The truth is that as people get to go into, well, in therapy and specifically, they uncover things about themselves. And then the feelings that go into it, and they can't help but going through two major emotions. Every time somebody uncovers something about themselves they don't like, it's either shame or blame. They want to blame somebody for it, or they feel too much shame because they have it. It's like those are the only two choices, shame or blame, you know? And it's like, no, those aren't the only two choices. Whenever you have a truth that you're hiding, try to deal with the two issues, the shame or the blame. Now, there are many people, when Carly Simon refers to this, there are many people who tell my truth. They call it my truth. I want to say my truth. And what is their truth? Their truth is what they're thinking. They're thinking certain things. Well, they're just thinking. That's not your truth. That's your thoughts. Well, then how about your feelings? Are your feelings true? No, your feelings aren't true. Your feelings are transient. So if you're feeling sad at any one moment, it may be because you are tired. But if you say you're sad and somebody says, why are you sad? And you say, I'm sad about our relationship, then that becomes true. So what's the truth? Is there such a thing? Maybe it's overrated, you know? We put a big word behind this, but it's true. I swear. I once told a friend of mine recently about a book. She was reading a book, and yes, she was reading it. It came to certain catchphrases, and she said, it's true, it's true. I figured out the secret to writing a book. The secret to writing a book is to write things that people know. So if you write things they know, and they say, it's true, then they like your book. See, if they can say, oh, yes, it's true, so it's almost as if they write the book. So if you say to somebody, you know, well, people can't always be trusted, and you say, it's true, it's true. Anything you can say it's true about means that you know that already, and it's probably not true in the first place. There is nothing we know. What do we know? Lauren and I sat here a few while ago talking about reality. Lauren, where is reality with truth?
Again, I just feel like reality is, you know, self-cultivated. It's our own perception. It's really hard to define what truth is.
Yeah, and do you know what's real?
I mean, again, facts can be real.
They can be, huh?
But I just think that reality is so subjective.
So how about I went bowling last night, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you know, I went bowling last night. Did you have a good time? Yeah, I had a great time. Oh, he must like bowling. Oh, but you know, also while I was there, I had a couple of drinks with my friends and we got a little drunk. Oh, well, then maybe getting drunk is a little fun. Being with friends is a little fun. Riding in your car is a little fun. But we call it bowling. See, this is the truth. And supposedly we will pick something and make that our truth and somebody else will tag onto it. Yes, my friends, there is, truth is transient. And like we're seeing with WikiLeaks, we fear it. I mean, what was the whole thing with going into Iraq? He had secret bombs of mass destruction. And the whole idea of waging a war was Iraq has a secret. And we can't let them get secrets, so we're going to go in and find the secret. And enough Americans said, yes, dedicate billions of dollars and kill all those babies because there's a secret in there that we have to find out about. Oh, there was no secret. Oh, no? Oh. Well, now the secret is that it was a mistake. So let's cover up our mistake by killing more babies and getting more bombs and putting in more dollars. And then you cover that one up too. We're very funny around this thing called truth. You know? I think it might be an interesting when they have wedding vows, I vow, right? I can't promise you anything, but I'm going to try my best. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello, Armand.
Hello.
My name is Tony. I'm here in New Jersey in a toll booth, believe it or not.
Hey, Tony, in a toll booth.
Yeah.
Hey, that's great. In a toll booth, Tony?
Uh-huh.
What are you doing in a toll booth? Are you a toll booth?
I'm a toll collector.
Wow. Where in New Jersey?
Over here in Secaucus.
In Secaucus. So people driving by right now may see you.
Yeah.
And you can wave the positive mind signal.
Oh, okay.
We have to invent the positive mind signal for the highway.
Yeah, you're right.
Right? We'll make it an okay sign. Hey, so Tony, how can I help you with this?
Well, when I was a year old, my mother got sick with tuberculosis, and she'll be 73 December 20th. While she was in the hospital, she got pregnant and had a child that was her secret until 1999. That's when she told us on Thanksgiving Day. And their friends, their relatives, even right now, her boyfriend at the time, he has since passed on. I asked her, do you want me to help you tell him? And she kept, you know, avoiding the subject. But one of her oldest friends just died. My brother, who I was raised with, we actually told her friend, and she went to her grave keeping my mother's secret. You know, we're all waiting for my mother to speak up, but she won't. And I said to her, you can't be, you know, after all these years, what do you care about people's opinions? She was not married to, she had three children, she wasn't married to
anyone. So it's all about shame, right, Tony?
Yes.
It's about shame, and shame controls so much, a sense of embarrassment that your mother had.
Yeah, I felt it as a child that she was ashamed of me being an illegitimate child. I finally had to throw it off. I said, hey, I didn't ask to be born.
Yeah. I hear you, Tony. Thank you so much. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for calling. And thanks to knowing that we're at the toll booth right there in Secaucus, New Jersey.
Yeah.
When I pass by the next time, I'm going to wave at anybody and just think they're Tony. Thanks a lot for calling in.
Thank you.
I know of a woman who had a child, and she brought up the child. She gave the child up for adoption. And the person she gave the child up to kept a secret, and she lived with the person who adopted the child as another daughter. So now she lived as the child's sister and was really the child's mother and gave deference to the mother who was keeping the secret. And everybody was keeping the secret all along. Now, there's a problem with this. Seems like a good idea, huh? The child had to give up her child to somebody else, made a deal with some woman. You got to take care of my daughter and treat me like your daughter, and I will never reveal the truth. The trouble is, chemically, that child feels a bonding that's different, the kind of bonding you feel towards your sister. It's the kind of bonding you feel towards your mother. But who's your mother? It does confuse the mind because there are so many chemical signals on the inside, and there are a lot of stories like this about people who grow up with parents who they don't even know are their parents. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. We live in an unusual world, my friends. But, you know, everywhere in nature, no matter where you look, you could find secrecy, hidden things, flowers, Venus fly traps, you know. It's like it's all about that. The spider's web. Remember, there are two rules in life. Eat and don't get eaten. 212-209-2900. Let's take a call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Armand. This is Linda from Brooklyn.
Hello, Linda from Brooklyn.
How are you?
Are you driving through Secaucus today?
No, but oddly enough, I do know Nina, who was one of the last callers. Hi, Nina.
Hey.
Small world.
How do you know Nina?
From dance class.
Oh, so Nina and you both listen to the program. Isn't that nice?
I know. Very cool, yes.
That's great.
I'm calling today because I have a secret from my son. It's basically the character of his father, which, you know, unfortunately I found out a little too late. He adores his father. My son is 7, almost 8, and we're divorced. and his father has been, you know, nothing short of a nightmare for me, and has, you know, written my son off and has taken me to court and just never wanting to pay child support. He rarely comes around. You know, he sees him maybe every 3 months or something, whenever it's convenient for him. He's really just been nothing but drama, and like, I'm not into drama. And my son, it's very hard for me because I feel like my son just sees him, he holds him in this godly light, and I understand he's a child, and I never, ever speak badly about his father, not a word, ever. And I'm getting to the point now where I feel like, you know, I'm wondering if I should start revealing a little bit of reality to him, because it's getting in the way, you know, like this past weekend, for example, he wanted to see his father, and it was the first time I've ever actually stopped him from seeing him, because his father, unfortunately, doesn't live by the same rules I do, which is not speaking bad about him. He says, you know, he blames things on me, like he's getting evicted, he says, from his apartment, and he's blaming it on the fact that he has to pay child support.
Mm. And he tells your child that?
I'm sorry?
And he tells that to your son?
Well, the thing is I'm afraid that if he sees him, that he will say these things, because in the past he has spoken, you know, untruths, you know, saying that I'm the reason why he doesn't see him.
Well, it seems like that's a conversation you've got to have with your ex.
Oh, and I have.
And you've said to him, you see, I'm sure you would have done it in a very heated way. Because I'm sure you got angry and you said to him, look, you can't do this and you can't do that. And that just gets your ex to get all sparkly and ready to fight you back. But you may need to get somebody in the middle of this, like the courts or somebody, who say, no, wait a minute, let's do this decently, or a therapist or somebody like that. Because, you know, neither of you want your child to be hurt. And I'm sure on some level he loves your son.
Yeah.
But you can't, you know, it's very hard for you to control it. Now, the truth of it is, no matter what he tells your son, you can't stop everything. You just can't control everything.
No,
and you may just have to let it be. And so when your son comes to you and he questions it, you can say, your dad and I have a different belief of what's right and wrong. And you may have to let it go. I understand your conflict. I certainly do. You know, but then the other option is to hold him back from seeing his father. And for that, he'll hate you much more.
Yeah, and like I said, I've never, you know, the 8 years, I've never done that. And I just tried to tell my son, like, this is, you know, we cannot speak badly about other people.
Well, I'll tell your husband you want to meet with a counselor. There are enough counselors around who would take this on and in one short visit be able to help you straighten it out.
Yeah, and you think it's best just to, like, keep my son out of all the truth, you know, out of the secret.
Because you can't tell him the truth, because there is no truth. There is no truth. Nobody's telling the truth. You know, it's like what you think is the truth, but it's blame, you know, and you want to blame your husband wants to blame you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. 212, sometimes it's just too big to handle yourself. 212, sometimes you're too big to handle yourself. Sometimes I'm too big to handle, too. Sometimes I can't handle myself. You ever feel that way about yourself, Lauren?
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes
out of control.
Just can't handle yourself, right? I can't handle me right now. 212-209-2900. Let's take another caller. Hi, this is Armand DeMille on the air.
Hi, Armand. I enjoy you so. I live in Spring Valley, Rockland County, New York.
Hey, Rockland County. Good representing. Yes.
And I heard you, and I say, sound like my story when I heard you saying about the lady that had a child, and she thought it was her sister, but it was really her mother. You know, a lot of these secrets are based, like you said, in shame, and it can cause a lot of reactions. The children can act out and everything. I'm a product of a rape, and my mother, it was a day and time when having out of wedlock children was not a thing when, you know, in the 40s and 50s.
And you were even blamed for the rape.
No, I was never blamed
all
for
right.
the rape at all. And I knew both sets of parents, because the boy, which was my father, was also an adolescent. My mother was 15, and I think he must have been 14. And eventually, I don't ever remember not knowing my other grandmother and grandfather, the father's people,
mm-hmm.
because my guardian grandparents' mother was a Christian, so she felt that this, in order to me not to be impacted, that it was important for her to forgive. So I was allowed for her to always know me, and that was a great thing, and it was... There was no learning for it at all. It was just something that happened because her mother died when she was 7 years old. So she'd never had a mother. And she was only 32 when I was born, this grandmother, this guardian grandmother.
Yeah.
So both of my sets of grandparents weren't elderly when I was coming up. They were all young.
So there seems to have been a lot of integrity around your family.
Yes, without me being aware of, but it's still, it was fine, I think. The mother, I always knew the mother because naturally she was there. And I knew who she was, the nurturing person that was my grandmother, my maternal grandmother, had more of an impact because I don't know how to say that. Even, you know, mother and father, those are names that you give things.
That's right. They're just words.
They were just words. And apparently I had all taken that in my spirit even when I could not articulate those things. Even knowing who my mother was, I remember when she graduated from high school and everything. And she went on, and they felt like in order for her to heal, they had to take me. So they were always the parents that I needed.
So do you have children now?
No, I don't have any children.
Do you take care of any kids at all?
I can't even begin to tell you how many.
Tell me. It sounds like you're a caretaker.
I am. I don't know why. They always come to me. Well, what happened is...
Well, because you seem to be a real giver.
I am a giver.
You found a place in your life where you're giving. It's beautiful.
And I don't know why, but evidently it must have been something with my maternal grandmother because she was always taking care of her grandchildren. Because I had an uncle, my only uncle, my mother's brother, that had married young, mm-hmm. and his wife had like three children, like back to back.
So you're, the world are your children.
I guess so. That's the way that I feel.
That's
and I
great.
Feel the importance of giving back to my community here in Rockland County. We have a problem in the school district, in East Ramapo School District, with the children not getting the things that they should because of partisan thing. It has to do with the religious set that have come
What's
up.
What's your name, by the way?
Virginia.
Virginia, I want to thank you very much for calling in. Thank
okay,
you.
Okay, thank you.
Nice to hear your kind heart.
Okay. God bless. Merry Christmas.
Same to you.
Okay, bye. I have to hold on.
Sure. 212-209-2900. We got time for one more call. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Armand.
Hi there.
Hi, my name is Paula.
Hello, Paula.
I'm just calling regarding the other caller from Crown Heights.
Yes.
And I'm going through a similar situation that she's going, but except I'm not the one holding the secrets. My husband, the one that's holding the secret.
Yeah, and he thinks he should hold the secrets, right?
Right, because of the whole community stuff, and they'll feel shame. And
it's so tough. It's so tough once you're indoctrinated that way to step out of it.
Yep.
So he feels like the whole community is going to shame him in some way.
Not really him. It's more like his family. So, and he feels like if he tells his family, like, they're going to come after me, and he feels like he should protect me. So that's the number one reason why he's not telling.
Yeah.
But I know it's the opposite.
Did you guys ever consider moving out of town?
We actually have. We are not in the same community.
Yeah, and how far away have you moved?
Another state.
Another state. Yeah. It sounds like a part of it is... that he's attached, and it'll take him a while to get unattached.
Yeah.
But it's a difficult thing, because I know this culturally. I know cultures that feel this way, and it's just, it's a trap. But you can't tell anybody it's a trap.
Yeah.
You can't say that to him. And the only thing that eventually happens is he gets old enough and wise enough to turn around and say, my highest priority is you.
That's what I always tell him. I always advise him that.
Yeah, but you know, it's not going to happen until he learns it from the inside of him.
Yeah.
But your highest priority has to be you too, which I hear it is, by the way. I hear that you do pretty well with yourself.
Yeah.
Well, I thank you very much for calling in.
All right, bye.
212-209-2900. We even have time for one more call. Hi, this is Armand DeMille. You're on the air.
Oh, hello, Armand.
Hi
nice
there.
First time.
And you squoze in. Good.
I have a serious problem in my life. My father was a child abuser and beat me till I was a teenager, and then finally I left home. And recently I emailed him telling him that I forgave him for what he did to me, and he turned it around and said, I never did anything to you.
Most parents were a bad son. Most parents will do that.
So now I have this problem where I feel I don't go visit my mother and father, and then my mother cries, and I don't see my son because I feel so uncomfortable in the presence of the father.
Yeah, I understand. Oops, I'm losing your phone.
Okay.
I barely could hear you anymore. But let me just talk
to
it for.
What your response was.
Sure. Thank you. So the idea of it is when you do confront somebody, don't accept them. Expect them to say to you, yes, it's true. Just say, I know, and it's okay. We're going to get on from here. And if he blames you back, just figure that's a normal reaction. He's got to blame me. So, and somehow most of us work this out. Because as you get older and older, it gets clear. My friends, thank you very much for being with you. I'll be back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m. My special thanks to Lauren Sykes for helping with the research for today. Lauren, thank you. And we will be back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m., my friends.